Good morning, everyone. Great to be with you again, as always, this morning as we enter this Advent season, and looking forward to spending a bit of time in the Word and looking into what the Lord has for us today. As always, as we enter this Advent time, it's with almost a seed of caution in my heart that it is so easy, as Mary Charlotte said, that we can come into this Advent time and get into Christian routine. And we've spoken about that before, and it's easy with Christmas messages to contemplate and look at a manger and pictures of mangers that we've all seen, and shepherds and wise men, and we still ask the question, why three? Because the Bible doesn't say how many there were, and we can have all kinds of thoughts and ideas and pictures in our mind, and it can all become quite rote and quite routine. And yet this morning, again, and as we go on in these December Sundays, as we look at this time of Advent, and as was already said, a time that we look at waiting with hope, we want to look at the fact that this time, this Christmas season, that it's far more than a feeling, far more than emotion. And as we press forward today, we want to look at a time in which we look around us, and the songs that we sing all communicate joy, expectancy, life. And yet, in a world, in a time in which so much is prosperous around us, the wars that are fought seem less than at times after we just looked and had Remembrance Day, in which we remembered those who had fallen and granted us peace. And yet, at a time like this, you'd expect that if there were any, that there'd be an overwhelming sense of security and longevity. There's no great war that people are being taken away to. There's no great thing that is pulling us under. The countries seem to be, in North America at least, prosperous to a degree. And yet, in reading the news this week, USA Today reports that American life expectancy down this year, not up. And not only is it down, suicide is up. That people taking their own lives becoming, I think, the second leading cause of death now. 70,000 more Americans died this year than last year. And it's in degree to suicide, drug overdose, the opioid crisis. And at a time when we'd expect things to be hopeful, right? Prosperity. No, it's going the other direction. In fact, some call it a pandemic of hopelessness in our society. And that goes for Canada as well, where a poll was put forward in which they asked, how many of you feel a sense of sadness all the time? 10% said yes. 10% said sadness all the time. Another 6% said they had an overwhelming sense of hopelessness. And another 5% said that they felt worthlessness. And as we come into a time when we promote a feeling of joy, a feeling of unity, a time in which we feel togetherness, this morning I want to look at the fact that today our worship, our time, our lives need to be more than a feeling. And what we need is not to let our feelings dictate our fate, but allow our faith to dictate our feelings. Because it's easy to be hopeless at a time when it seems like the chips are down. There's no way out. And it's interesting, but our feelings are all over the place, aren't they? In a time in which, and how many times have I heard the advice and had the advice, trust your feelings. Trust your gut. I'll never forget when a pastor friend of mine told me this: if one more person comes into my office and tells me they have a piece, I'm going to punch them in the face. Isn't that great? Not the kind of thing you'd expect a pastor to say. He was frustrated. Do you know why? He was tired of people who had manufactured a feeling of peace. Why did you commit adultery? I felt a peace about it. Ouch. I felt a peace. Sometimes I've seen in the past, with those who I've had the privilege of walking with through difficult times, there are moments where we can actually manufacture a peace. Sometimes we feel at peace when we finally make a decision in a difficult scenario. It doesn't mean we made the right decision. We're just glad the decision's made. Do you understand what I mean? Versus the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that comes that even though chips are down, you know the Lord has you and you know that you are with the Lord. It's interesting, but when feelings become our absolute, we're in a dangerous and difficult place. We had a good laugh just last night because we have a wall in our house. It's actually a doorpost, and there we have the kids line up, and we put a book on their head, and we draw on it with pencil, and we mark how tall they are and how they've grown. Well, the beautiful thing that this day was that my daughter, my oldest daughter, had been touting for the last week that she was now taller than her mother, and she was wearing it with pride. I'm taller than mom now, Dad. I've got it. Not only have I met her, I'm taller than her. And she was so confident. And as she stood up to that wall, because she had been boasting all week, we put the book on her head, lined it up, and drew a line. And when she turned around and realized she still had a centimeter to go, she was devastated. Here's what she said: "That's not true. Do it again. I know that I'm taller than her." Isn't that great? Well, I don't know what it was, but she felt taller all week. She was looking down on her mother as a shrinking, short old lady, right? And then was devastated to realize this, that however she felt, truth hit her in the face. No, you haven't made it. Your mother's still a skyscraper, a centimeter over you, right? See, it doesn't matter how we feel. It doesn't make it true, does it? No matter what we feel, it doesn't make it true. And this morning, we can feel hopeless. But it doesn't mean that we're without hope, does it? I may have lost sight of my hope. Doesn't mean that I'm hopeless, though I might feel it. This season I can feel alone. Doesn't mean it's true, does it? I can feel lost, without direction, by myself. Doesn't mean there's not a group of people who love me, though I may have lost sight of it. Doesn't mean that I don't have direction, though in the moment I can't see it. We must beware of that fact that today, my feelings do not dictate my faith. But today, we need to let our faith dictate our feelings. And as we move forward now, listen to these words in Romans 15 and verse 4. It says this. It says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus." I love as Paul writes this church in Rome, in which he says, whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. Not just words past tense, for those perhaps even who it seemed at the moment written to, but for us. And what was the message? That through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, you might have hope. And this is the reminder this morning, is that today we find hope, not in how we feel, but in what we know. And today, the scriptures remind us of what's true. It's like when we try to measure ourselves by our feelings, or if we had a rubber band in the local drawer instead of a doorpost, and every day we'd pull out that rubber band and say, "Hey, okay, kid, I want you to step on it, and I want you to pull it up and tell me how tall you are." Every time you go back, relatively speaking, you'd never know if you had grown, never know if you had changed. Never know where you were, because you'd be measuring yourselves by something that's not absolute, something that's not steadfast. And so, when measuring, when marking, when looking, when striving, we look to the scriptures that give us hope, that in all perseverance and encouragement, we know, no matter how we feel, who He is. This morning, I'd like to take a moment to look at the book of Esther. And while we don't have time to read the whole thing, which would be great in and of itself, I remind you of what it tells us in context, because we read about Esther, a young Hebrew virgin girl. And if you recall, in your Old Testament, Esther was growing up under the care of her cousin Mordecai. There was a king, and that king's name was Ahasuerus. And I may not be pronouncing that right, but that's okay today. Listen, this king had a queen named Vashti, and he asked her to come out and show everybody how beautiful she was. She refused. And so under the counsel of his wise men, Haman said, "Listen, if she refuses you, won't everyone hear of this and think how weak you are?" And so in quick and short order, the king took Vashti and took her out, and she was queen no more, to say the least. Then began the look, right, for a new queen. And they looked for virgins throughout the land. And this is where Esther found favor, not only in the sight of those who were caring for the virgins, but also then the king. And quickly she became queen, though under the instruction from her cousin Mordecai that she should keep her faith and her heritage a secret. It actually tells us in Esther chapter 2, verse 17, this: "The king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she found favor and kindness with him more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen." Well, as it goes on, the king would make her queen, but while her cousin Mordecai would find his own favor with the king, having made a plot to kill the king become evident to him, Mordecai did not find favor with his trusted man, Haman, when he refused to bow to him. And quickly Haman decided that the most expedient thing to do would be to kill not only Mordecai, but all the Jews. And so began the plot to take out the Jews. And he said this in Esther 3, verse 8. Listen, he said, "Then Haman said to the king, 'There's a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from those of all other people, and they do not observe the king's laws. So it is not the king's interest to let them remain. If it is pleasing to the king, let it be decreed that they be destroyed. I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who carry on the king's business to put into the king's treasuries.' Then the king took his signet ring from his hand, gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. And the king said to Haman, 'The silver is yours, and the people also. Do with them as you please.'" Here is the response. Esther chapter 3, verse 12. "The king's scribes were summoned on the 13th day of the first month, and it was written just as Haman commanded to the king's satraps, to the governors who were over each province, and to the princes of each people, each province according to its script, each people according to its language, being written in the name of the king. And it was sealed with the king's signet ring. Letters were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, to annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, women and children, in one day, the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, which is to seize their possessions as plunder. Chapter 4 says this: when Mordecai learned all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and wailed loudly and bitterly. He went as far as the king's gate, for no one was to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. In each and every province where the command and decree of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, fasting, weeping, wailing. Many lay on sackcloth and ashes. Then Esther's maidens and her eunuchs came and told her, and the queen writhed in great anguish. How's the feeling right now? As you think about a people sentenced to death by the most trusted man in the kingdom beneath the king, who carried his own signet ring. Not hopeful, what? Feeling of hopelessness. She writhed in great anguish. How do you think she's feeling? Mordecai sat in ashes and sackcloth in mourning, weeping. That was the feeling. And yet, this morning, as we look at this story, not a story of despair, was it? A story of hope. A story of hope, because it's after those words. It tells us in Esther chapter 4, verse 10, it says this, that Esther spoke after hearing from Mordecai, who entreated her that she must go to the king and beg that he change this edict that had gone forward. And she replied to Mordecai and said, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that for any man or woman who comes to the king, to the inner court, who is not summoned, he has but one law, that he be put to death unless the king holds out to him the golden scepter so that he may live. And I have not been summoned to come to the king for these 30 days. And they related Esther's words to Mordecai. Not only were they sentenced to death, but she looked at the situation, and what did she see? No way out. I can't even go to the king unannounced without the sentence of death that I already have. I go this way, death awaits me. I go this way, death awaits me. Hope? Nothing but despair. Direction? Overwhelming sense that there's no way out. And yet, listen to Mordecai's words. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. That's not any more hopeful, is it? But he says this, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish, and who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. You see, in the moment of despair, at that moment where there was no way out, here's Mordecai. It's time to go. It's time to move. It's time to be rooted in not how you feel, but what you know to be true. And that is this, that even if you don't go, the Jews have deliverance awaiting them. What did he know? He was weeping. He was despairing. He was suffering, and yet knew this. There was hope. Deliverance would come. Confident in that fact, that whether it through Esther or another means, God would show up. God would prevail. He was still, however he felt, rooted in the truth that he knew that God was with them. And I love the fact that as we read this morning and as we enter this time of Advent, we're entering a time in which we always start with those scriptures in which we now see the New Testament, right? The beginning of the birth of Jesus, the Savior, the awaited one. But not much is often spoken about the 400 years that happened between the last writings of the Old Testament and the writings of the New. After Malachi's writing, or as I call him, Malachi, the Italian prophet, right? Listen, after his writings were finished, he goes on and life lived on. And I always say, God's never silent, we're just not listening. But at that time, it seemed as though the prophets had gone silent. And yet, isn't this interesting? At that moment, every day and every day forward as they lived, where's the prophets? Where's the word? Where's the will of the Lord? Every day was another day closer to the birth of the Savior that they were waiting for. Did they feel his presence? Did they feel his word? Did they feel the word of the prophets? Not like they were or had been. Not even the warning. And yet every day was another day closer to the salvation of the Lord. Hope was on the doorstep. No matter how they felt, Emmanuel, God with us, was more near than at any other time. You see, today, as we enter this season, we guard our hearts. Christmas is more than emotion. Today, our walk, more than a feeling. Because we will all go through those seasons. One where we are up, and if you are like me on an emotional roller coaster, I feel the Lord. I feel his presence. I feel his will. And it can be days later. I feel lost. I feel like God isn't there. I feel like God isn't speaking. And here's God. I don't care how you feel. I do. But listen, I don't in this respect. Remember what's true. Feelings can't be trusted. My life can be. And today, if you put your faith in what's real and right, and allow that to dictate your feelings rather than your feelings dictate your day. Today is his day. Today we walk in confidence. Why? Because he's in the midst. Like Mordecai, he hasn't failed. Though I may not see it, he's here. Today, what obstacles remain? What feelings torment? In the midst of all that can't be trusted, one thing can, and that is him and his book of promises. As we enter this time in celebrating Emmanuel, God with us, it is a time in which we go to the scriptures and remember what that means, not just how we feel about it. Because I feel warm and fuzzy, mushy, squishy, and all the rest when I think God came down to get man. That's great. But the outworking of that, that's real substance. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Emmanuel, God with us. I will provide for you as I have provided for the sparrows. And you see the way the flowers are dressed, how much more as he's count the hairs on our head. Emmanuel, God with us. I will strengthen you in a time of weakness. Emmanuel, God with us. I will give you wisdom when you seem to be the fool, Emmanuel, God with us. I am the good shepherd. I am the light before your path. Emmanuel, God with us, even to the lost. Today, as we enter this Advent season, more than emotion, but a celebration of the substance that is Christ, let's never lose focus on the confidence of our hope that is that he is here. And that is the truth. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that this morning we can abide and that this morning we can come before you knowing. And sometimes that's the great battle, allowing what we know to be true to settle in and conquer that what we feel in the moment, but is false. Thank you that today that you are greater than our seasons of grief, seasons of loneliness, seasons of lostness, seasons of hurt. And yet, in all, as much as we feel we are grasping and holding on to you, we know today that even more so, you have grabbed hold and are holding on to us. Thank you that today we can, whatever the circumstances hold, have hope, confidence in a great, caring, loving God. And I pray that as we go out these doors to a variety of circumstances, places, things, situations, relationships, that we would never lose sight of the truth that is you. Thank you for the celebration of your life. In Jesus' name.